The information I will be presenting is for educational purposes and not a substitute for medical care. This show is not intended to diagnose, treat, or prescribe. The information described today is not a substitute for your own intuition or consultation with a duly licensed practitioner. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Sam Byrne, 2020 iTalk. I'm broadcasting from my geodome in Tasuki, New Mexico, and it is definitely autumn here. Beautiful, cool, crisp morning. I actually got up this morning around 5 a.m., and I have a little observatory down at the end of my property. And I was out looking at some of the stars this morning before sunrise, and Venus was coming up on the east. You know, we call her either the evening star or the morning star. And I was surprised when I was looking through my telescope that I actually saw that she was not full, that she was similar to what the moon is showing now. The moon is a new moon. And I only saw part of Venus, so that was really interesting. And Orion was up in the south eastern skies, which means that winter is not too far away, and the seasons are definitely changing. So I'd like to welcome you to our show today. My interest is talking about the eyes and vision. But I also like to talk about many other things, especially as it relates to health and wellness. I recently was on a podcast that was an interesting workshop that a colleague and I are going to be putting on here in New Mexico in mid-November. And she is a movement specialist, and she works with the psoas muscle, although she doesn't call it a muscle. It's actually tissue, and her name is Liz Cook, and she's actually, one of her nicknames is the psoas queen. And she and I had a really interesting conversation on the eyes and the psoas. And you might go, well, what is that about? And basically, you know, I don't want to give too much away in terms of our workshop, but What we were discussing were different connections between the psoas tissue and the eye tissue. And there are actually a lot of connections, especially in the area of our reptilian or survival response that all of us have kind of built in, hardwired in our nervous system. And Liz's work is about how to develop and open the psoas through movement. And of course, my specialty in helping people open their eyes and vision is also partly about how we move. So how we move is how we see, and how we see is how we develop, and how we develop is how we think and learn. And so it's just this ongoing connection. We are whole. And sometimes we forget that. And when we go to the allopathic doctors, a lot of times we don't remember that we're whole because we're treated as fragmented, segmented parts. Anyway, this workshop that Liz and I are going to be doing, it's a four-day retreat up at Ojo Caliente, which is a hot mineral springs about an hour north of Santa Fe. It's a delightful retreat center. And if you want more information, you can go to my website, www.drsambyrne.com. The phone lines are open today, so if you want to call, if you have a question or you want to have a conversation with me, our phone number is 1-888-627-6008. So I want to read a letter that I received from a patient of mine not too long ago. And it's a very interesting letter. It's a short letter, but I think it'll kind of be a segue into some of our conversation. Dear Dr. Byrne, thank you for working with me on improving my vision this past year. When I first came to your office, I was wearing glasses corrected for an astigmatism with vision of 20/200. The work we did together and the exercises you gave me to do at home made me more aware of how stress affects my vision and how I use my glasses as a crutch. I also learned how to see just as well without my glasses. Last week, I took my eye exam for my driver's license, and I passed with no eye restrictions for driving. I was elated. Thanks for all your help. Your work is truly outstanding. Sincerely, Patrick. Well, I like receiving letters like that, and I have a lot of them in my files. So the other day, I did this process with folks. We do this process now called Open Seat, and what it is it's a group process of six people that come to my studio, and they get to explore their vision, but we do it in a group setting. Open Seat is something that I developed while teaching at the Esalen Institute in California. And actually, it's not my process. It was started in the late 60s by Fritz Perl, one of the grandfathers of Gestalt therapy. And it's basically a process. The Open Seat is a process-oriented group where instead of the conventional approach, you know, you have a problem, you go to the doctor says you have this diagnosis and may give you some drugs or recommend surgery or say, we're not going to do much, just watch it. And that's basically it. Well, in the open seat, each person can come in with their symptom or their problem or their, you know, the aspect of their eyes and their vision that they're struggling with. And each person gets a turn working with me where I might offer them certain practices, mindful awareness things, essential oils, whatever it is. And then we do a group process together. And the other day I had some really interesting folks, and there was one guy in the group who was an accountant. And he was diagnosed with cataracts, bilateral cataracts, and also macular degeneration. And he had gone to a regular doctor, and basically the doctor said, well, you know, we're getting close to your needing to do the cataract surgery. And so he contacted me, and he has started working with me. So at the open seat, and he'd been working with me for about 3 months, at the open seat session, he shared with me that he felt that his cataracts were completely gone through the methods that I was showing him to do. And in fact, his reading glasses had gone from a very high prescription to now, because his eyes had improved so much, he needed a very minimal prescription for reading. So we're talking probably about a 75% reduction in reading prescription. And this gentleman was in his late 50s. And I had my flashlight, my scope that I look into the eyes. And wouldn't you know it, his cataracts had completely dissolved. They were gone. I had another lady who was in the class who had had a MRI. And after the MRI test, she developed very extreme light sensitivity and deteriorating vision. And so she went back to her eye doctor and he said, you know, it's just aging. There's no correlation to the MRI and deteriorating vision, and there's really not much to do. Well, I had been working with her for about a month, and when she came to the open seat, she said to me that, you know, now her hypersensitivity to the light was about 75-80% gone, and she didn't need her distance glasses for driving anymore. I had a third person who was in that open seat class who was a Feldenkrais practitioner. And when she first came to see me, she had chronic double vision. She was also wearing what we call invisible bifocals or progressive lenses. And these are glasses where they give you the three lenses in one, but there's no line, you know, to delineate the difference. It's probably one of the worst optical setups in terms of trying to use your eyes, because the only part of the usable vision that you have is right down the center. It's a thread right down the center, and everything else is just distorted and blurry. So you have to learn to tunnel your vision in order to make the glasses work. And so this poor lady, because of her double vision, her two eyes weren't working together. She was at wit's end trying to figure out, well, how am I supposed to use these glasses? So immediately when I saw her the first time, and this was about 5 months ago, I took her out of those lenses and I put her in some single vision lenses. And we started to do some different practices in my method. And one of the things that she recognized was her stress pattern in her eyes when she tries to see, and that her habit was about grabbing and just grabbing with her eyes, tightening up, tensing up, and the glasses that she was given actually just reinforced the mental habit. And usually there's a mental habit that creates the physical eyes to change. Well, she is ecstatic when we were at the open seat, because she said, you know, my double vision is gone and I'm basically only wearing glasses for driving. And if I need to see something up close, I'll put on some magnifiers, especially if the light is dim. But otherwise, I am feeling great and I'm seeing great. So all these success stories are an illustration of what's possible. And part of my mission is to help people dissolve the self-limiting patterns that they're looking through in terms of the eyes and their visual habits and their visual patterns. And what's really interesting is that when I started in this work, my eyesight was really poor. And when I worked with my doctor, who was a holistic doctor, and I spoke about him on one of my earlier shows, his name was Al Shankman, Dr. Al Shankman. Basically, what I learned was that vision is more than an eyeball experience, and that actually 10% of seeing is in the eye, but 90% of seeing is behind the eyes. So what I'm referring to there is how the brain and the eyes and the body all come together. About 8 years ago, I guess it's been about 8 years because I was reflecting on this, I was out in Los Angeles in Santa Monica, and I was invited to give a vision workshop with a colleague of mine in Santa Monica at a movement studio. And the owner of the studio had developed a process called continuum movement. And her name was Emily Conrad. I'm going to talk about Emily for a few minutes. So Emily, she passed away last year, but she was a pioneer in the field of somatics and body movement. And she was one of my mentors and teachers, and I miss her dearly. But it was interesting at that workshop because I called her up in front of the group, and she loved that kind of stuff. And I started working on her vision because she had a very significant problem with glaucoma, which is an increased pressure in the eye, and she had pretty significant vision problems. So after my working with her, she said, gee, you know, I'd really like us to collaborate together. And I said, you know, Emily, I'm really into continuum. I really love what you're doing. And I'll explain what continuum is in a minute. So we began this collaboration where I started to come to her workshops. And she started to learn more about what I was doing. And when I got to a place, maybe about 6 years ago, when I closed my formal office in Santa Fe, I said to Emily, you know, I actually want to start teaching groups and I want to incorporate Continuum into my vision work. And she said, you know, be really great to have an eye doctor in our field, in our morphogenic field. So I began more intensively studying with her and became an authorized Continuum teacher. And in the meantime, I helped her with her glaucoma. And so Continuum is one of my main modalities, especially when I do group work today. And I want to talk a little bit about Continuum and what it is and relate it to my eye work. So in Continuum is a healing modality that combines sound with different breathing sequences and movement. And combining those three things causes a deeper responsiveness in our body tissue, specifically the fluid body. So as adults, we are about 70% fluid. As babies and even in utero, we may be up to 90% made of fluid and water. So our bodies are made of mostly fluid, and yet one of the reasons why we go through an aging process is the fluid begins to solidify. And a lot of eye problems, and I've said this on other shows, occur because the eye tissue begins to get compressed and we lose some of our fluidity, which creates all kinds of toxicity buildup and brittleness in the tissue. There's retinal detachment, floaters, cataracts, almost any eye condition. We can relate it to lowered oxygenation and hydration. So in Continuum, when we combine a sequence of sounds, and these are sounds that Emily has developed over her 45 plus years of exploration, actually when you make different sounds, it's one of the best ways to break up compression in the tissue, in the body. I know this also from my work with the dolphins, because when we swim with the dolphins and they put their sonar into our body when we're swimming with them, what I notice is that people tend to really open up their consciousness, and the sound is a wonderful modality to do that. So that's one part of it, sound. Like, for example, there's a sound that opens up the bones. There's a sound that creates a lateral spread. There's a sound that actually enlivens the bone marrow. So it was just brilliant in terms of Emily, what she discovered in terms of the sounds. And then in terms of breath, you know, what I find with most people, and I know Emily found this too, is that most of us are really shallow breathers. In fact, our breathing is mostly based on a survival response that probably early on we had some fight or flight experience and our breathing began to shut down, and this creates a starvation in the tissue. So as you begin to elongate your breathing and become more aware of it, it actually brings more oxygenation and hydration to your body. And sound, actually, if you do sound for a while, automatically your breathing gets longer and deeper. And then the third part of Continuum is movement. But it's not the regular movement that you do, say, going to a gym where you're doing lat pulls or curls with a weight. The movement that Emily developed is involved with either a spiral, wave, or pulsation movement. So whenever you move in a spiral or a wave or pulsation, you're actually enlivening the tissue and you're including the whole body in the process. So in a specific Continuum class, the teacher lays out a sequence based on what, you know, the people are needing at that time. And using the combination of those three, what's happening is you are now creating a field of coherence where the body begins to reverse its aging and it increases its body circulation. What I love about the sound is it actually creates a beautiful harmony as we hear each other's sound, kind of like a choir. And then in terms of the movement, there's a wave that begins to happen that creates a fluidity and a return to what's possible in terms of our body responsiveness. Working in the healing arts, one of the things I notice is, especially in the eyes, is we have very low responsiveness and self-awareness about what we feel around our eyes. Everything is directed externally, thrusting forward. And if we bring in the advent of electronics, as we move forward, we can see that our eyes are kind of searching forward all the time, all the time. So we're coming up to a break. I want to continue this conversation about continuum, but let's step away for a minute. We'll do an exhale, drink some water, and we'll be right back. This is 2020 Eye Talk with Dr. Sam Byrne.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the...
That was Jackson Browne, Doctor, my eyes. So I'd like to welcome you back. This is Dr. Sam Byrne, 2020 Eye Talk. And we're talking about the fluid body and my utilization of a wonderful healing practice called continuum movement. It was invented by somatic pioneer Emily Conrad. Another person who was very involved in the formation of continuum, and I actually just spent 8 days with her up in Buckhorn Springs in Oregon, is Susan Harper. Susan Harper is another amazing continuum teacher. Her website is continuummontage.com. And Susan and Emily got together. Actually, Susan tells the story that she moved to California and met Emily, and they started to develop a continuum together. And then eventually they split off to do their own thing. But when I spent time with Susan this summer, I was really amazed at some of the innovations that, and where she's taking continuum. Check her out. She's a really cool person. So I want to go back to inquiring into our fluid nature, because, you know, the nature of water is very interesting. You know, Mother Earth is probably 70% water, with the oceans and the rivers, and we are 70% water. The galaxy, the cosmos, there's a lot of water there. And so what is this deal with fluid inquiry, and how does it affect our health and wellness? Well, one of the things that I learned in continuum was the idea of how has the Industrial Revolution affected us? How has it affected our health and wellness? Because what's going on, and I'm seeing it more and more, is the robotic nature that we get into. And when we get into a roboticized consciousness, that is definitely going to begin to shut down our body. And it's definitely going to shut down our vision. You know, again, if you look at all the electronics that are dominating our sensory systems these days, basically what's going on is that we're becoming much more repetitive in our movements. And if we just take our eye movements, for example, I have so many people that come to see me that are on the computer. Their job is dependent on their computer use, their iPad, iPhone, whatever. And when you make those repetitive movements over time, especially with the electronics in the eyes, you're creating a visual confinement. And over time, that's going to begin to shut the vision down. You're not going to have as much circulation going on in your eyes, blood flow, lymph flow, whatever, and it's going to create a deterioration. It's going to create a compression. And this creates a starvation in the tissue, which then leads to many, many eye problems and health problems. So the inquiry into continuum is about how to regain our fluid nature. And our movement, just like our vision, is going to influence our behavior, our consciousness, our reactivity to life, our relationships to ourselves and others. And so by returning to the fluid roots, what happens is we begin to enliven our bodies in a way where we have more responsiveness, more awareness. And one of the words that I use quite a bit in describing continuum is the ability to have better self-regulation. And what I mean by self-regulation is that when I'm starting to feel some stress, I have some tools, I have some mastery over being able to release the stress, to rebalance myself, instead of being completely unaware that the stress is deteriorating my body. And then I get in a depleted state, which most people are in, I have to say. When I do my biomedical tests, I find that most people have adrenal burnout and they don't even know it. So the idea of developing more self-regulation and using different practices to do that is one of my main teachings. And continuum is one of those ways to do it. One of the things that Emily used to talk about is tissue anatomies, and she called them three tissue anatomies. And basically, one of the first anatomies that we are involved with, we're all involved with, is something called cultural anatomy. And, you know, our world, the demands that are placed upon us are inherently probably going to make us more tense and focused and less connected to our natural rhythms and nature. I have nothing against being focused. I think it's very useful. But I also think that it's very important in your focusing that you are able to include more of your awareness, whether it's your breathing, whether it's your body, whether it's your vision. You know, I talk a lot about in vision that when you're looking at something, feel your body first, connect with your body, and then look. But what we tend to do is we cut off our body, we cut off our breathing, and it's all about looking, striving, getting. And, you know, there's certain times, especially like in emergency situations or if we're in a practice of fetch wood, carry water, having a focused consciousness is really good. But in the cultural anatomy, and especially in our modern culture, sometimes we forget that there's another way that we can be, and we're constantly in this sympathetic nervous system fight, flight, or freeze response. And in doing that, there's very little spaciousness in terms of rest and rejuvenation. One of the things I say to people a lot is that we should spend 90% of our time in rest and rejuvenation and 10% of our time in doing and working. But you know what? It's the other way around. In fact, for many people, they don't even build into their day about rest and rejuvenation. They're almost forced to take a vacation. And this is how disease starts, you know, when those hidden messages in our body through symptoms start to show up. Part of the signals are about us. Maybe we need to rest. Maybe we need to rejuvenate. We need to slow down. It's really interesting, you know, in terms of the speed and the rhythm, because again, I bring in electronics. When we're on electronics all day, we are going to the speed and the rhythm of the electronics. And we lose touch with those slower rhythms. One of the rhythms, which is a natural rhythm, is something, you know, we call the Schumann resonance. And the Schumann resonance is a standing wave that actually runs through our bodies. And it's a very slow wave. It's about 7.8 hertz. It also vibrates at different hertz as well. But that slowness actually can recalibrate our endocrine system, our nervous system. But the only way to really get into that level of slowness is to recognize, I have some self-regulation and I can actually slow down. This came up the other day in our open seat session where everybody with their vision had such high expectations and demands around their eyes that they had no idea that they could slow down. But you know, when you slow down, what happens is you become into a more receptive state of consciousness and your vision is much more peripheral and open. So another barometer besides our vision that I like to use, and we do this in Continuum a lot, is the way we breathe. And the sounds, the breath, and these subtle movements begin to slow us down, and that overstimulation that we're all involved in begins to melt away. And we call this the primordial anatomy, where in the primordial state, we kind of return to our fluid roots. You know, and one of the things I love to teach, and especially when we get into our longer workshops, is something I call species inclusivity. You know, one of the problems that I see going on in our world and our social system is that we as humans think we are the most important species on planet Earth. And I think that that is a misperception. And it's partly our egos. It's partly some of the other, you know, patterns we get into about greed and violence and, you know, other things like that. But when you start going back to your primordial roots, you recognize that there's probably billions of years of a planetary process that has supported our own human evolution. And, you know, when you recognize that, you realize that we are not the main players on planet Earth, but we're part of a bigger picture. And in that bigger picture, if we start recognizing, it changes everything. So we're coming up to another break. This is 2020 iTalk, Dr. Sam Byrne, and we'll be right back.
Feel it all. We come from the light, and to it we shall return.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Sam Byrne, 2020 iTalk. If you'd like to call us, our toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. Today I'm talking about one of the modalities I use in my practice and workshops, which is called continuum movement. And I was speaking about the different anatomies that we are involved with in our body. And it's a different model than, you know, just the regular anatomy that I learned in optometry school or one would learn in medical school. This is a more functional anatomy in terms of how our body is more, can we say, biological, and that the best technology we can use is our own body, or we call our bio-intelligence for healing. And I was talking about the cultural anatomy and how our tissue, our body, conforms to the external influences in our doing and focusing and stress. And then I was also talking about our second anatomy called the primordial anatomy, which puts us more into our watery fluid state. And I was saying that, you know, part of our evolution has been the contribution of all the other species that have come before us. And one of the reasons why I like to take people on the dolphin swims is that when we swim in the ocean and we connect with the manta rays and the dolphins and the sea turtles and all the other, you know, ocean-bearing critters, is that we recognize that we have a commonality, which is our fluid roots. And that if we can begin to recognize that we aren't the only species on planet Earth, that could actually create a real shift in terms of how we're dealing with our environment, how we're dealing with social issues, and that it's much more than just our own egos and acquiring new things and shopping and all of that. There's a much deeper reason why we might be here, and we may not even know why we're here. So then the third anatomy I want to bring in is called the cosmic anatomy. And here we have a consciousness that in our lightness, we return to the recognition that there is a cosmic awareness even in the night sky, that there's we're such a small part of the big picture. It's one of the reasons why I love doing astronomy, because when we, and I have star parties here, it's really fun, where I'll invite a group of people and I'll take them through the night sky with my telescope. And they recognize that there's a much bigger perspective going on than, you know, what our monkey mind thinks that we're doing. Because what happens in our own health and wellness is that, you know, when we practice, when we do any kind of group practice where there's an intentional commonality, we recognize that this isolation that we're all experiencing is really a kind of a misperception, and that as we come together as a group, there's a field that's created and there's an amplification and a unity that really allows us to go much further than we can as an individual. And it's one of the reasons why I closed my office, because I found that the individual sessions really were limiting in terms of how far a person can go. But as we get together in a group, what begins to happen is these isolating ideas and practices that we think about begin to dissolve. And there's an intercommunication that goes on, not only with the group, but what's more important, that there's an intercommunication that goes on with our body, that our cells, our organs, our glands, our energy fields, that there's a process in the metabolism where we begin to find resiliency, more creativity, more self-regulation, self-discovery, self-responsibility. And this is where we can begin to dissolve some of the toxicities that we're all being confronted with. We have the external and we have the internal toxicities. And a lot of times these are lodged so deeply in our tissue that we're not aware of it. So I find that continuum takes us to dimensions that broaden our perception, that establish more neural networks, and it creates a new level of fitness that's much more whole, much more holistic. You know, one of the things I've learned about the fitness community and even some of the movement practices out there is they don't encompass the whole body, but it's very segmented and limited, very much like some of the allopathic eye care process that I've spoken about. And in the world where, let's face it, there's more pollution, there's more radiation, there's, you know, weather changes and climate change, diminishing resources, what we're being asked to do is find more resource within ourselves, both as an individual and also in a group. And so the invention of Continuum by Emily, to me, is a wonderful and a really exciting health modality that I bring into my vision work. And it's really quite amazing. I have a lot written on my website, www.drsamburn.com, that you can learn more about Continuum. You can also read Emily's book, which is really good. It's called Life on Land, and that talks about her life and talks about how Continuum developed. And it's very interesting, cutting-edge work, not unlike what I'm doing in eye therapy and in my own vision work. So take a moment to digest all that. So we have some time left on the show, and I want to switch gears, and I want to talk a little bit about another modality that I use, which is called a medicinal essential oils. And last weekend, I led a aromatherapy certification course. I usually do two of these a year. And we had six folks who took the class. It's basically an immersion of learning how to use essential oils on the body, which can actually improve your health and wellness. I first got involved in medicinal essential oils, oh, I don't know, maybe about 10 years ago when I was working with kids who were having learning problems. And I began to explore different ways to remove heavy metals from the body, because I found a lot of these kids were had been overstimulated with the vaccination response. That a lot of these kids would get the vaccinations all at the same time, and it would create a toxic response in the body, which affected the brain and affected digestion. And so I wanted to find ways to remove the toxicities from the body and also improve their brain and learning function. So I discovered essential oils, and I like them because you can actually put them right on the soles of the feet. And different essential oils can target different health problems. And in my research, I found that after about 3 to 4 months of using the essential oils, that a lot of these toxicities would be released in the body, out of the body. And so I began using them in a wider scope, and I found that they had a lot of versatility in how they worked. I also used them around my patients' eyes and vision. And some of the responses were, gee, I have better night vision after I use these essential oils, or I don't need the same prescription. I can use a weaker prescription, or my eye disease problems were going away. So I began using the medicinal essential oils not only to reduce symptoms, but I also then began using them to help people clear out certain physical, emotional, and spiritual blocks. There's one lady I'd like to tell a brief story. Her name is Grace, and she was 72 when I met her. She was diagnosed with a cataract in the right eye, and she came to see me for a second opinion and other treatment options. And so I recommended that she use 5 essences around the eyes: saffron, laurel leaf, clary sage, and carrot seed, and frankincense. And she used them 3 to 3 times a day for a month. And after 1 month, her cataract had reduced by 50%. And I had her continue the treatment for 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, her cataract was completely gone. So it's interesting that, using medicinal essential oils is not a widely accepted mainstream utilization by some aromatherapists. But like everything else, as you get to know me, that I tend to work out of the box, and that I find that, you can use essential oils on the body, but you just have to be really informed and educated on how to use them so that you get the best possible benefits without any side effects. And that's one of the reasons why I teach my certification courses, because I find that if we can, educate folks, then they can use these modalities and they don't have to live out a certain diagnosis or condition that they've been told that they have. Okay, we're coming up to another break. So I'm going to step away. This is Dr. Sam Byrne, 2020 Eye Talk, and we'll be back in a moment. Back, and this is 2020 Eye Talk. It's great to have you here today. It's a beautiful fall day here in Santa Fe, and in about a week, I don't know, maybe about 2 weeks from now, we're going to have the Balloon Fiesta, and that's in Albuquerque. That's quite a production. Many years ago, when I first moved to Santa Fe, my mom and dad came out. And they stayed with me, and my dad was a photographer, so I took him down to the, as they call it, the Ascension, where you have to get up like around 4 a.m. and you drive down to Albuquerque, and all the balloons are set up, and then like around sunrise, these balloons just kind of go up into the sky, and it's quite an amazing fall spectacle. And it's really quite amazing. This is a great time of year here, because usually we get very clear weather, crisp mornings, the aspens start to change and get that yellow color, and the Balloon Festa, the balloons just, you know, they just fly all over Albuquerque. It's just a wonderful sight. So we're back, and I'm talking a little bit about medicinal essential oils. And, you know, one of the things that I joke about, although it's not really a joke, is that we all have this condition called NDD. Nature deficit disorder, that, you know, especially because of all the climate change and all the things going on, like the droughts, the floods, the hurricanes in California with all the wildfires, Washington State also, even the nuclear catastrophe Fukushima a few years ago, that there's definitely a major ecological threat. And one of my teachings is, how can we reconnect to nature and take better care of Mother Earth? And so there's a couple things that I want to bring into this in terms of ways that we can help heal ourselves, our own natural rhythms, and maybe have an effect on Mother Earth. The first is, we have to recognize that we're all suffering this NDD, or nature deficit disorder. And number two, we must realize that we are not the pinnacle of evolution, but we like to see ourselves as the dominant species, but we vastly overrate our role. And I kind of spoke about this through a continuum in our last segment, that we need to really understand that it's not just about us. And then number three, we must recognize that our overworked left brain, which is our analytical side, has really disconnected us from Mother Earth and from the resources. And so any way that we can take steps to recognize that we are a global planetary community, and that we can move out of our survival response and enter a state of empathic capacity, that we have a chance of maybe turning all of this around. So in talking about the plants and trees, there's an inspiration that when we start connecting in a deeper way through all of our senses, how we see, how we hear, how we feel, how we sense Mother Nature, whether it's through different plant medicines, herbs, essential oils, flower essences, just as an example, we begin to recognize that there's a deeper meaning of why we're here. Because I believe that we definitely are an interrelated, interconnected part of a whole picture, and that we are communicating with each other on a biological and an electromagnetic level. And that, you know, we are all affected by the planetary energy fields, the Earth's magnetic fields, the sun's electromagnetic field. And if we start broadcasting more love, compassion, and gratitude, that we begin to dissolve the incoherence that's showing up around us. And, you know, in terms of our vision, one of the things that I feel is that as we open our eyes on a physical level, it definitely begins to affect us on an emotional and energetic level. So with the medicinal essences, which is what I was talking about, the medicinal essences are like the blood of the plants and trees. And as we start using them in our bodies, we actually can develop a deeper connection with our own health and wellness, with our family and friends, but also with Mother Nature. And the medicinal essences, especially if they're pure and unadulterated, they definitely can help open and connect us to all kinds of dimensions. They also help us to open our hearts and soften our minds and egos. And they also offer us a connection to a higher vibration and frequency. You know, there's a real complexity to the medicinal essences, unlike pharmaceutical drugs, whereby even the use of antibiotics is such now as that the bacterial strains are becoming more and more resistant to antibiotics. But if we look at, say, lavender or frankincense, those are very complex compounds which offer a antibacterial presence to these bacteria. And what they do is they kind of keep things in check. So it's not about killing the bacteria, but keeping them in balance. And one of the words I love to use is homeodynamic. You know, it used to be the word was homeostatic, but homeodynamic says that balance is a state of flux, that there's a constant movement in our balance. And so once we come into balance, then we probably will go out of balance. And then we have to find a new way to fine-tune the rhythm and find a new way to balance. And I think this is part of what we're being asked to do in our evolution. So I know we've been kind of talking more philosophical today, and what I would say is, you know, try some of these ideas on and, you know, see if they work for you. See if you can play with them. Because if you start bringing these into your health and wellness and your relationships, you might actually have some amazing epiphanies. And that's been my attention today. So I want to leave you with a quote. And the quote is this: when thine eye is single, the body is full of light. This is actually from Luke 11:34. And I'm not getting religious here. I don't want to go into religious dogma. But this is more about when our two eyes come together and we open up our third eye, we recognize that our body is full of light. And working with the biophysicists, I recognize that we are made of photons. We are made of light. And it's a reflection of our health. So the more we come from our light, the more we can radiate out, our creativity gets expressed, and there you go. So thank you so much for the show today. I'll be off next Wednesday, but we'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a great week. Many blessings.
Please visit drsamburn.com/events to learn more about his workshops, webinars, and professional trainings. To order Dr. Burn's new book, Taking It In, please contact Vision Wellness @cybermesa.com or call us at 505-469-4949. The Burn Method is a trademark system, and no part of this show can be copied or used without the consent of Dr. Sam Byrne.